What we're going to look at today is going to keep with the theme of overcoming fear, and we're going to see that in the life of Peter. So what we're going to do is look a little bit about Peter's background and then some situations that he was in where he very much needed to overcome fear, and we're going to see that this guy was hilarious, first of all. And we're going to see what God did to help him and what great victory he saw because of that. So we'll begin in Mark 1 in the record of what I believe to be the most easy witnessing ever accomplished in Mark chapter 1. This is when Peter got into the Word. Mark chapter 1. Verse 16, and this is talking about Jesus Christ here, it says, "Now as he, Jesus Christ, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." I wish it was always that easy. You're out witnessing, hey, you want to get born again? Come with me. Okay, just, I'm coming. Whatever they're doing, just leave. I mean, that was just pretty cool. So if you go over to chapter 3, Mark chapter 3. So Jesus Christ said, Peter, come along with me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Chapter 3, verse 13 says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would that they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges," which is not a good nickname, which is the sons of thunder. Actually, that is a great nickname. "And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, that they went into an house." So what we just read is this is when Peter was ordained. So now we know that he was one of the 12 apostles. And we know that also, out of verse 12, we know that Peter was not the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. So that's a good sign. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. So Peter was ordained, and he was given power to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, etc. He had spirit upon him. So let's see, we're going to see a little bit of Peter's personality here in this record. Mark chapter 8, verse 27, we'll start. And it says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets." So Jesus was like, who do people even think I am? And they were like, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, some people think you're Eli, and some people just think you're some prophet. And then verse 29, Jesus said, "And he said unto them, But whom do you say that I am? And here's Peter coming out of the gate strong, and Peter answereth and said unto him, You are the Christ." So good start for Peter. You got it right. You are the Christ. Verse 30, "And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him." So, okay, not good now. Strong start, but bad turn there. So Jesus Christ is saying, you know, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected of the elders, of the leaders of the Judeans. He's going to be killed. And so then Peter rebukes him. And rebuke is to chide, to reprove, to admonish, or to charge sharply. So Peter was like, nah, you know, like he started to be very insistent. You are not going to die. There's no way. This is not going to happen to you. So he started to reprove Jesus Christ. So verse 33, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter," so Peter got it back, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Well, so here's a high point for Peter. He says, you know, you're the Christ. And then he reproves Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ calls him Satan. So, you know, just you see here that Peter was definitely bold and, you know, he was an outspoken guy. If we want to go to, let's see, Matthew chapter 14. I like to think about Peter as a guy who's kind of strong and wrong in that record. Strong and wrong. But think about it. I mean, having Jesus Christ call you Satan and getting rebuked that sharply, that's enough to take some people out right then and there. You know, some people, you get reproved once and then I'm out. Their feelings get hurt and then just, peace, I'm done. You hurt my feelings. We cannot be like that. You know, you got to be able to take reproof. But if you're reproving someone, it does not mean you have to call them Satan. It was right for the situation. Let's see another record about Peter. Here we're just kind of getting a feel for this guy. There's Dean said yesterday that we could spend the entire camp looking at how Peter was more than a conqueror. So we are not hitting everything about Peter here. But we're just trying to get a little feel for how this guy was. Matthew 14, verse 25, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, which is about after 3 a.m., Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. It's casual, he's just walking on the water. I YouTubed walking on the water, and I'm just kidding. It's something you can't do. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and I don't blame them, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water. So here's Peter again. He's a strong guy. He's really a go-getter. He's kind of one of the first people to jump in on these situations. And so he said, all right, if it's really you, tell me to come on the water. And so verse 29, Jesus Christ said, all right, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So again, a great high point. He's believing. But then, verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. We've seen this a lot today. When you keep your eyes on God, or in this case, he had his eyes on Jesus Christ, you will not be afraid. But when you start looking at the circumstances and what you, by your ability, can do, you start sinking, right? Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. That was very nice of him, by the way. He could have just let him go. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So again, here's just a cool situation where Peter was willing to go for it. He was bold. He did become afraid and he got reproved. But again, this did not take him out. Reproof did not take him out. Mark chapter 14. You know, and you cannot live your life for fear of being reproved. I mean, that is just no way to live. Sometimes we are going to screw up in an attempt to do God's word. That does happen. You know, you're doing your best. You're really trying to help someone and maybe you say the wrong thing, or maybe, you know, there's so many things that could happen. Maybe you just screw up. And you get reproved. Getting reproved is a positive thing in your life. Reproof helps you get back to right believing. Reproof is not negative. It is a good thing. And we can't live our lives for fear of reproof. That is no way for a believer to walk. And Peter just always went for it, strong and wrong. Mark chapter 14. We'll start in verse 26. It says, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, of course, first one to speak up, although all shall be offended, yet I won't. Everyone else may be offended and say they don't know you. I am not going to do that. Verse 30, and Jesus saith unto him, Verily, I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. So here he's saying, actually, Peter, you're right. You're not going to deny me once. You're actually going to deny me six times. Six times. I'm not going to read through every time that Peter did deny Jesus Christ, but I highly recommend reading the appendix of Jesus Christ, Our Passover. It's appendix 9, and you can kind of learn about the ways that he did that. But we just don't have time to read each of those. Or that just would have been the topic of the teaching, denying Jesus Christ, which is a bad topic. So, Mark chapter 14, verse 31. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. So Peter was like, I'm willing to die with you. There's no way I'm going to deny you. And then all the other apostles were like, yeah, no, me either. verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. This is another great record. Verse 33. And he taketh him with Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, which means thoroughly troubled, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. So Jesus Christ knows the reality of what's about to happen. He knows that he's about to die. And he's not happy about it. He's very troubled. He's very heavy. And he says to Peter, James, and John, he says, I need to go away a little bit. Can you just keep an eye out and keep watch? And verse 35, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground, this is Jesus Christ, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And when he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And we're not going to read the rest of this record, but so Jesus Christ is very upset and asking, this is not a light prayer session here. He's saying, if there's any way that I don't have to die, God, I would prefer that. No one took Jesus Christ's life. He gave it. But it wasn't like he was thrilled to do this. It was a terrible experience he was about to go through. And then he just asked Peter, James, and John to just keep an eye out. And they fell asleep. it's not like they were about to go through this horrible thing. They had, but they fell asleep. And then Jesus Christ comes and he's like, are you guys serious? and then what happens is he goes to pray again and they fall asleep again. So, you know, Peter did go through a lot of reproof in his life. He really did. He did some awesome things, but he also screwed up. And I can personally really identify with that. We all screw up, and we screw up sometimes doing what we think we're doing our best for God, and we mess up. But that just cannot be enough to take you out. But let's go to Mark chapter 14, a little bit later into it, verse 66. It says, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, weren't you also with Jesus of Nazareth? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, he's one of them. He's one of those Jesus Christ people. Verse 70, and he denied it again. This is Peter who said, I would die with you. Now he's, I don't know him. I don't know Jesus Christ. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Not only do you look like one of them, but you sound like one of them. You are definitely one of those Jesus Christ people. Verse 71, and he began to curse. He said, damn it, I don't know him. I mean, he was adamant. Sorry for yelling. He said, I don't know him. And he adamantly said, and swear, I know not this man of whom you speak. You know, that's the opposite of what he wanted to do. He wanted to be adamant about standing with Jesus Christ. He wanted to be adamant that he would never, never deny him. But now he's adamant that he didn't know Jesus Christ. You know, this is not a good look. I mean, this is not something he's proud of. And you see that in verse 72. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I mean, this must have just crushed him. He loved Jesus Christ so much, and then he denied him adamantly. And it was because he was afraid. He denied knowing Jesus Christ because he was afraid that if he said that he was one of them, that he too would be on death row. He was afraid. And fear is what puts us in these embarrassing situations where we deny God, where we don't say, yes, I'm a believer. It's fear that puts us in those situations. And he wept. And that word wept is a strong wept. It's wept sorely. You know, he's extremely upset. I can't even imagine. John chapter 20. And that's the end of the teaching. Nice and depressing. John chapter 20, I'm just kidding. John chapter 20, verse 19. Can you imagine doing that? Would you stand again? Would you bounce back from that? John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for what? Fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know what Jesus Christ could have said there? He could have seen that they were behind closed doors and afraid, and he could have said unto them, open the door and said, what the hell are you guys doing? I told you this was going to happen. I told you that I was going to have to give my life, but I told you I was getting up. He could have been like that. He could have been, you know, just ripped them a new one. But he said, peace be unto you. Do you think God is willing to work with you when you're afraid? Even if you shouldn't be. They had no reason to be afraid here. They knew what was going to happen, but they were behind closed doors. And Jesus said, peace be unto you. Jesus Christ did not give up on them. And God is not giving up on you. I don't know what might have happened in your life where you might be ashamed of, but God isn't going anywhere. He's coming and saying, peace be unto you. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, and them isn't in the text, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So Jesus Christ, instead of handing them a bad conversation, that was a terrible figure of speech, he instead said, peace, even as God sent me, I'm sending you. So he didn't say, I give up on you guys. Peter, you denied me. You guys are hiding. You're behind closed doors. He didn't do that. He said, I'm sending you. And he told them in verse 22 how to receive Holy Spirit. He prepared them for what was next. When you get a little bump in the road and you're stuck and you're behind the closed doors, maybe in your home, you're afraid to go witnessing or whatever it is, we can know that God is not abandoning us. God is saying, nope, you're still sent. I still believe in you and I'm still going to work with you. I have a quote here about fear. This is by Dr. Werwell. And he's talking to the core here. Why can't those glorious days of the past be perpetual, power-packed days of the present? Fear. It causes people to panic and freeze, mesmerized to the inaction type of action that the world dictates. Then comes hopelessness and cowardice. Fear blights hope, kills ambition, stalls progress, and ruins personal relationships. You know, you can't lose anything worth having by believing God's word. Eternity is longer than the now. But we see that fear causes people to panic, to freeze, mesmerized to the inaction type of action that the world dictates. That's what happened to them here. These guys were awesome. These were the apostles. These guys saw amazing things with Jesus Christ. They had an amazing past of walking with God. But now they were frozen. And they were mesmerized to the inaction type of action. They were hiding. They were hopeless, and it was a cowardly situation. And one of the things that Dr. Rowe says is fear kills ambition. I would characterize Peter as an ambitious dude. First one to go on the water, first one to say, you're the Christ, first one to reprove Jesus Christ. He was an ambitious dude, but fear got him, and it got him behind closed doors. John chapter 21. But Jesus Christ said, peace be unto you. God sent me, and I'm still sending you. I'm not giving up on you guys. John chapter 21, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. This is not good again. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. We're not going to read this entire record, but even after Jesus Christ saw them, even after he told them how to receive Holy Spirit, Peter still, and I don't know why, Peter said, I'm done. Tapping out. I'm going fishing. And, you know, if in your life you've been really hot on the word and then for whatever reason you've tapped out and decided, you know what, I'm going with the world thing, God has not left you and you are still called. And we're going to see that in verse 18. So Jesus Christ comes along and says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. All different kinds of sheep. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, when you were a baby in the word, thou girdest thyself and walkest wherever you wanted to go. But when thou shalt be old, when you're mature in the word, you're going to stretch forth thy hand and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither you wouldest not. When you're a baby in the word, you only do what's comfortable for you. You only do what you feel like you can stay in control of, and you only do what's convenient for you. You only do what isn't scary. But when you are old here, and it means when you're mature in the word, you're going to go where it's not comfortable. You're going to overcome fear, and you're going to be able to walk with God greater than you ever would have thought. There's no room for fear in that walk, and God is going to help you get rid of that fear like we read, saw, heard about. So we're going to go places we never thought we'd go. So let's see what happens to Peter now. Acts chapter 1, let's see what he does. This is the point if he, you know, overcomes fear or not. This is Jesus Christ talking in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So here's the promise. This is talking to a bunch of people, Peter included. You're going to receive power and you're going to be witnesses everywhere. So he has his calling. Do we have a calling? Yes. So here, Peter has his calling. Let's see what he does. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. That's a lot of nations. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, oh my God, there's so many people, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mocking them, said, these men are full of new wine. These guys are drunk. All right, here's Peter, but Peter. Now remember, last thing we saw about Peter, denied Jesus Christ 6 times. behind closed doors for fear of these people who were present here, fear of the Jews. And then he went back fishing, and he said, forget it, I'm not doing this stuff anymore. That's the last we saw of Peter. Now, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, and he directly addressed the Jews who he was afraid of, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. This is the opposite of where he was at. That is a picture of overcoming fear. This can be you. I don't know where you've been hiding or if you have, but this can be you. Freedom from fear is available, and overcoming fear is available. In verse 15, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And we're going to skip down to verse 22. You can read the whole chapter on your own, but I just don't have time. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, sorry. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He went from denying even knowing Jesus Christ to just pointing at the people who killed him and said, you with your wicked hands killed him. But he couldn't stay dead. He's risen. And what happened later in this chapter is 3,000 people believed. That's a picture of deliverance right there. That's more than a conqueror. Conquer fear in your life. There's no place for fear in your life. Let's see another record of this new Peter, this new Holy Spirit having Peter. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. So this is after Peter and John, the record of the lame man at the temple who was walking and leaping and praising God. Then all of the religious people are very upset, and he's talking to Annas and Caiaphas, we're going to see. We're going to read verse 5. So they get put in jail, and now they have to talk. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, in case you forgot I told you last time, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is a new Peter. And he's talking to, we see in verse 6, Annas and Caiaphas, which are two people responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. There is so much opportunity for Peter to be afraid here, and he's in front of the very people he was afraid of. And he's like, I can't do anything else but speak about Jesus Christ now. You're going to see a couple more places here. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. So the context here is Ananias and Sapphira, they lie to God, and that's not good. And what ends up happening is there were many signs and wonders done because of how that situation was handled. And once again, the religious people are upset, and these guys are on trial. Verse 17. Then when the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You know, the very thing that Peter was afraid of and was hiding from actually happened here. He was afraid of being put in jail. And we're going to see in the next record that he was actually put on death row. The very thing he was afraid of and was avoiding actually happened here. But what happened is an angel came and opened the prison doors. They put themselves behind closed doors back in John. And now God opened the prison doors that they were afraid of. You're going to see amazing things when you just walk, when you just go. Let's go to one more place here, Acts chapter 12. Peter was behind closed doors, and now God is opening those doors. God is opening doors. That can be your life. Open your front door. You don't have to be afraid of the Jews. You might have to be afraid of the hipsters. Those guys are weird in Atlanta. But, but really, there is no reason that we should be afraid. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, in case you like to keep track of that. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So do you guys understand what's happening here? This is very bad. James got killed. And Herod saw that, you know, the citizens that he rules were very happy about that. So now Peter gets taken, and Peter gets put in prison. Literally, Peter is on death row. There is no other intention besides to kill Peter here. Verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Another great reason not to be afraid. We can pray for each other. If something does come up, you know, we've got a body of Christ praying for each other. That's how it should be. A couple more verses here. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping. I don't know how he was sleeping on death row, but he was. Between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter, because Peter still wasn't awake. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So this situation, we don't have time again to read the whole record. I again recommend you do. But Peter's on death row and he's sleeping. He's sleeping. He has all these soldiers around him to keep him. Locked in there. And then an angel comes and this huge light shines in the prison and Peter's still sleeping. And so the angel has to be like, "Peter, wake up." And so Peter's up and then the angel's like, "Gird thyself and get your sandals and go, we're going." And then Peter's like, "What the heck is going on?" And he thought he saw a vision. He doesn't even know what's going on. It's just amazing what God is gonna do. When you decide to go, God is going to deliver you from whatever it was that you were afraid of. What happened here was what Peter was afraid of, but Peter decided that I have a calling and I'm going to act on it. I don't care what the heck happens. God's bigger than whatever the consequences could be. 2 Timothy 1:7. Your calling is also to be a witness. And there's no reason to be afraid of that. Maybe you're afraid that, you know, in the past you've had an amazing walk and then you screwed up. And maybe you did go back to fishing. Maybe you did go back to the world. God is still here. God has still called you. Your calling has not changed. Your ability has not changed. And God still really wants you. God still really wants you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has given you the spirit of fear because it's helped." No. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have another quote for you by Dr. Werbel. If you're on a plateau called stalemate, go witnessing. Be stubborn on the word. Deliverance comes when you make the decision to act. Get involved in life and living it. Help make your life available. That's handling fear. If you're stuck, if you've put yourself behind closed doors, go witnessing. Be stubborn on the word. Deliverance comes when you have made the decision to act. Peter was behind closed doors. That part of his life sucked. He denied Jesus Christ 6 times, and right after that, he's behind closed doors. Then he leads the rest of the apostles back to fishing. That part of his life sucked. And yet, he overcame fear, and then we just saw so many records where he said, I can't do anything but talk about Jesus Christ. I can only speak God's word. And God opened the prison doors whenever he was put behind him. He got out of his plateau. He got out of his stalemate, and he went witnessing. And he saw the deliverance that comes when you make the decision to act. And that's overcoming fear in Peter's life. That's it.